This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, January 24th, 2017. Coming up this hour.
The dollar pairs earlier losses after reaching the weakest level in 6 weeks following comments from Steven Mnuchin.
Britain's highest court rules that Parliament must give permission for Prime Minister Theresa May to trigger Article 50.
Yahoo delays its sale to Verizon as investigations continue over data breaches.
Two of President Trump's cabinet picks took steps toward assuming their new roles. Plus, a nor'easter could make the morning commute a mess. I'm Michael Barr. Those stories and more straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Rare win for the Knicks. They held on at Indiana. Another loss for the Nets. Beaten by San Antonio, the Rangers beat L.A. at the Garden.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1200 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, Karen. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm sorry, Bob, and I'm Karen Moscow, and we're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and futures this morning are a little changed to higher. S&P E-mini futures up a point, Dow E-mini futures up 14, and NASDAQ E-mini futures are up about 3. I was distracted here by earnings crossing the Bloomberg. I was watching DuPont, Bob. Fourth quarter operating profit beating analyst estimates. Again, that crossing the Bloomberg right now. We're watching that. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. So is the FTSE 100. The CAC in Paris up about 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan down 0.6% this morning. Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 0.8%. The yield 2.42%. The yield on the 2-year 1.16%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 28 cents to $53.03 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% or $3.90 to $12.1170 an ounce. The euro, $1.0729. The yen, 113.40. Bob.
Karen, the U.S. dollar this morning is erasing earlier losses. The Bloomberg Dollar Spot Index fell below 100 last night, reaching its lowest level in 6 weeks after Treasury Secretary nominee Steven Mnuchin said an excessively strong dollar could have negative short-term effects on the U.S. economy. Mnuchin made the comment in a written response to senators obtained by Bloomberg. Still, that's not stopping Goldman Sachs chief economist Jan Hatzius from predicting dollar strength this year.
We do expect a strong dollar. It's mainly based on interest rate differentials. So for euro dollar, for example, we expect parity.
And checking the Bloomberg Dollar Spot Index right now, it is now back up to 100.400. Goldman Sachs chief economist Jan Hatzius also says he expects the Federal Reserve will soon begin normalizing monetary policy.
And we are watching more headlines. Crossing the Bloomberg, Turkey's central bank left its overnight borrowing rate at 7.25%, and it did raise its late liquidity window lending rate to 11%. The UK's highest court this morning ruled that Prime Minister Theresa May must seek the permission of Parliament to trigger the 2-year countdown to Brexit. Bloomberg spoke to Parliament member John Mann of the Labour Party outside the courthouse following the decision. He expects quick action from Parliament to enact Brexit.
The vote will be to enact Brexit, and the vote will be, I predict, next week. I think the government will publish the bill in the next 24 hours, and I think there'll be a vote as early as Monday.
The UK Supreme Court ruled against the government by a vote of 8-3.
And trading for this Tuesday is underway in Europe. For the latest, let's bring in Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Manus Cranny, live from our London bureau. Good morning, Manus.
A very good day to you, Bob. Karen, let's kick it off with Philips. The stock is down 2% as we speak. Fourth quarter profit met estimates as the performance of the Dutch company's health technology businesses improved. So you had sales, they rose 3% on a comparable basis to 7.2 billion euros. Now, I spoke to the Philips CEO, Frans van Houten, following the company's earnings report this morning. He did express concern about the unpredictability of Donald Trump's policies.
I am seeing heightened uncertainty. That is a concern, and I think we will just need to see what is going to come through in terms of policy adjustments. At this time, it is certainly too early.
That was the CEO, Frans van Houten. The stock's also a little bit of pressure this morning as they have an FDA scrutiny over heart defibrillators. So they are telling the market there, wait for more details on that. BT is the other main decliner here in Europe, down 18.42%. This is the telecoms operator. 312.1, down 18.42%. Why? Because the company has tripled a write-down at its Italian unit to £530 million. Now, that's after a probe that found faulty accounting and inappropriate behaviour than the company had first identified. The CEO, Gavin Patterson, says that the firm is deeply disappointed with the improper practices that it found. EasyJet had quarterly sales that beat analysts' estimates. Revenue per seat fell less than expected in the marketplace. Pre-tax profit fell 28% last year. A weaker pound, that inflated the foreign currency expenses, and terrorist attacks across Europe subdued demand. Stock down 7.38% this morning. That's a third of £1 billion. Manus Krenny, Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
Thanks, Manus. In South Korea, Samsung is reporting quarterly profit then more than doubled and announcing a nearly $8 billion share buyback. Bloomberg's Rosalind Chin reports.
Strong chip sales are helping Samsung's earnings. Semiconductor prices have also been rising as global demand grows faster than supply. The company also saw a recovery in its mobile business after last year's Note 7 crisis, and a weaker won played its part in lifting the numbers. And as for that buyback, Samsung will repurchase about $8 billion of its own shares in 3 to 4 phases and will cancel the shares it repurchases. That's all part of a shareholder return program unveiled in November. Rosalind Chin, Bloomberg, Hong Kong.
Yahoo reports quarterly revenue and profit topping estimates and is also delaying sale of its web business to Verizon. Bloomberg's Caroline Hyde reports.
Almost $1 billion pulled in terms of revenue and earnings per share almost doubling. But perhaps what actually was a little bit more interesting to investors was the fact that the deal with Verizon had been delayed in terms of completion until the next quarter. This, of course, being the sale of the main web operations to Verizon as it continues to recover from the disclosure of massive hacks to its user accounts. Now, Verizon declined to comment on the new deal timeframe, saying they were awaiting the completion of Yahoo's breach investigation before making any decisions. Caroline Hyde, Bloomberg News, San Francisco.
All right, thanks, Caroline. And again, DuPont reporting earnings. Fourth quarter operating profit beating analyst estimates. Sales, net sales in the fourth quarter coming in just shy of what analysts were looking for, coming in at $5.21 billion. Analysts looking for $5.32 billion. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. A new intelligence chief. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the very latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Trump's pick to be the next head of the CIA has been confirmed by the Senate. Vice President Mike Pence has sworn in Mike Pompeo as CIA director. Pence spoke about Pompeo after the swearing-in.
Mike, as the president reflected while visiting the CIA over this weekend, you are stepping up to lead the finest intelligence gathering operation the world has ever seen.
Meanwhile, the Senate Foreign Relations Panel narrowly approved Rex Tillerson's nomination to be Secretary of State. The move all but assures the full Senate that they will confirm the former CEO of Exxon. Just hours before members cast their votes, Republican Marco Rubio declared his support for Tillerson, backing off from a challenge to deny Trump's nomination.
It would be damaging to our national interest to have a protracted, unnecessarily protracted and controversial Secretary of State nomination. At this point, I think it's important to have that position filled.
Rubio said that he had serious reservations about Tillerson, particularly over his views on Russia. Leaders of some of the 11 other nations involved in the Trans-Pacific Partnership say they will move forward with a trade agreement with or without the U.S. President Donald Trump officially abandoned the deal, saying he favors one-on-one trade agreements over multinational pacts. Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull calls the decision a big loss. However, Democratic Senator Bernie Sanders agrees with the move.
It's one thing to kill the TPP, which is a positive step in my view. It's another thing to develop a trade policy which finally works for American workers and not the CEOs of large multinational corporations. And if Mr. Trump is serious about moving in that direction, I would be delighted to work with him.
New Jersey transit officials say this morning's commute could be a big headache. Strong winds from a powerful nor'easter downed electrical lines in Linden yesterday. It knocked several train tracks out of service, causing long delays. New Jersey Transit and Amtrak service has resumed, but officials say the residual could cause significant delays. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:09 on Wall Street, and with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. During 14 losses in a span of 17 games, the Knicks found different ways to lose, often right at the end. Last night at Indiana was looking like yet another blown lead. They let a 17-point advantage get away, but this time the Knicks held on. They beat the Pacers 109-103, helped by a 40-point second quarter. Carmelo Anthony scored 26 points. Derrick Rose with 20. Paul George scored 31 for the Pacers. As for the Nets, San Antonio figured it would be a good night to give its star player Kawhi Leonard off. Good thinking. Spurs won easily without him. 112-86, and Kenny Atkinson's Nets have now lost 13 of 14.
We didn't come up with the energy, and that's one thing with our team. You know, I will say we usually bring that, and tonight we didn't bring it, and I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed for the fans. Like, our fans are unbelievable. Like, the way they support us. I'm looking up in the stands at the end of the game, and it's just, you know, I just ask for patience, and we'll keep working at it and try to get better. I told the guys tomorrow we come in and we'll get better.
Both Golden State and Cleveland lost on the road. The Warriors in Miami as Deion Waiters scored 33 for the Heat, and the Cavs in New Orleans, where Jrue Holiday went for 33. In the loss, Kyrie Irving 49 points and LeBron James a triple-double, but the Cavs 2-5 in their last seven games. Rangers, since the season-high three-game losing streak, have won three straight, with Henrik Lundqvist playing much better after a shutout win at Detroit. Rangers came home and beat Los Angeles 3-2. Upset in the ACC, NC State won at Duke 84-82. Gonzaga won by 19. Now 20-0 with the last 12 wins, all by double digits. Locally, Iona beat Quinnipiac St. Peter's downrighter. Australian Open, Roger Federer won again. He's into the semifinals. So is American Coco Vandeweghe, her first ever Grand Slam semi. And she'll now face 36-year-old Venus Williams. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. Elsewhere in sports, Formula One chief executive Bernie Ecclestone is stepping down. The move marks an end to his decades-long reign over the auto racing series. Ecclestone was replaced by former 21st Century Fox executive Chase Carey. The announcement comes as John Malone's Liberty Media completes its $4.4 billion acquisition of Formula One from private equity firm CVC Capital Partners. S&P E-mini futures unchanged at this hour. This is Daybreak. Brought to you by A Bronx Tale, the new musical. AM New York hails it as a combination of Jersey Boys and West Side Story. A Bronx Tale, Broadway's new hit musical. Get your tickets today at telecharge.com.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit Sector, SPDRS.com, or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. 6:17 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. Executives from General Motors, Ford, and Fiat Chrysler head to the White House this morning. President Trump's expected to talk to them about keeping jobs in the U.S. by threatening steep import duties. The Trans-Pacific Partnership may be dead, but Australian officials are talking to Singapore, New Zealand, and Japan about a possible deal without the United States. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe says Japan still wants America to be involved. UK Prime Minister Theresa May lost her Brexit appeal in the Supreme Court. She now must ask Parliament for permission to kick-start the process of leaving the European Union. And could Tiger Woods get a few pointers from President Trump? The 14-time major champion says the two played a round of golf last month and he was impressed with the president's stamina and ability. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Chris Kirkham, thank you. Turkey's central bank raising its overnight lending interest rate to support the lira, building on recent extraordinary measures that tighten liquidity. The Monetary Policy Committee raising the overnight lending rate by 75 basis points to 9.25%. DuPont's fourth quarter earnings beating analyst projections as sales of plastic parts increase to automakers. S&P E-mini futures, little change. Dow E-mini futures up 12. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 2. 10-year Treasury down 9/32nds, yield 2.43%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 23 cents to $52.98 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% or $3.40 to $12.12.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.0734. The yen, 113.33. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump's designee for budget chief goes under the Senate committee microscope today. Representative Mick Mulvaney will likely be asked how the White House plans to tackle budget deficits. He's been a supporter of the House Republicans' controversial plan to cut back Medicare by turning it into a voucher-like program. Meanwhile, the Senate Finance Committee meets today to hear testimony from Representative Tom Price of Georgia, the man selected to be health secretary. Mark Dayton's office says the Minnesota governor will be back at work today. Last night, the 69-year-old Democrat fainted during his State of the State address. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks beat the Pacers. The Nets lost. The Wizards were also winners. The Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Rangers were winners. The Capitals and Sharks also won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, would you eat a cricket?
No. Flat out.
The insect is now becoming a popular source of food full of protein in Canada. In Montreal, at Tachido, the crickets are used in tacos. Bob, at Vancouver's Mink Chocolate Cafe, it's used as toppings.
I have just one thing to say. Jiminy, how could you?
Oh, stop your chirping. See what I did there? Okay, I had my moment. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
Good morning. 6:21 on Wall Street. The highest UK court ruled this morning that Prime Minister Theresa May must seek an act of parliament to trigger the 2-year countdown to Brexit, handing lawmakers a chance to soften the government's plan. The court ruled against the government by an 8-3 vote, but they did rule unanimously that legislatures in Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland don't get to vote on the Article 50 process. Bloomberg Intelligence UK economist Dan Hansen joining us now in our London studios. Dan, good morning. Does this change your view at all on a possibly softer Brexit ahead?
Well, probably not on balance. I think the key thing to remember here is the sort of the hard Brexit goes right to the core of why a lot of people voted to leave the European Union. It focused very heavily on migration and on sovereignty. And I still think that's really where the negotiation is going to head. And I don't think Parliament is going to block Article 50. I think it's going to go through. They may attempt to soften it, but what you've got to remember is, you know, Parliament, they're representing the people, and the people voted against this migration issue and against the EU's control over the UK sovereignty. So there's really a, it's difficult, but I think ultimately the UK is still heading for a pretty hard Brexit.
Now, Theresa May has said that Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland are going to get a voice in this, but the fact that they don't get a formal vote, does that save Theresa May's government from perhaps higher costs?
Perhaps. I mean, Scotland, the Scottish government, Nicola Sturgeon, the First Minister of Scotland, has been quite vocal about wanting Scotland to remain part of the European Union. So at the margin, yes, it's made Theresa May's life perhaps a touch easier. But in the context of the challenge that lies ahead of her, with this, you know, getting this Article 50 bill through Parliament and then the negotiation with the EU, you know, it's a small victory, but there are bigger challenges ahead.
Now, Prime Minister May is set to become the first foreign leader to meet with the new president since he's taken office here in the U.S. What is she looking for in terms of U.S. support?
So I think what Theresa May will be looking for, certainly when thinking about the negotiation with the EU, is the beginnings of being able to make noises about the UK having a trade deal with the US. You know, it would be a big, big win for her if she could start to sort of make noises about that. I mean, the thing to remember is it's actually against EU law to negotiate trade deals while you're still a member of the EU. So the UK has to tread a fine line. I mean, beyond trade, there's things around defence as well that she'll be looking for. But certainly, I think trade will be pretty high on her agenda.
Dan Hansen from Bloomberg Intelligence. Thank you very much. Bloomberg Intelligence provides unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market and government factors that impact business, our terminal customers can access this function at BIGO. A forward look at the markets now. S&P E-mini futures unchanged at this hour. In Europe, London's FTSE is up 0.25%. The CAC in Paris up 0.1%. And the DAX in Frankfurt up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury prices down 8/32. The yield at 2.4284%. The two-year yield at 1.1637. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. Brought to you by Bank of America Merrill Lynch, dedicated to bringing our clients insights and solutions to meet the challenges of a transforming world. That's the power of global connections. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner & Smith Incorporated, member SIPC.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are watching Alibaba crossing the Bloomberg right now, releasing their earnings. Revenue coming in at 53.2 billion yuan. Analysts were looking for 50.1 billion yuan. And adjusted profit beat analyst estimates. Again, that just crossing the Bloomberg. More details on Bloomberg Daybreak. The UK's highest court has ruled that Prime Minister Theresa May must seek an act of Parliament to trigger the two-year countdown to Brexit. The decision is a defeat for May, who argued that she alone had the power to begin the country's withdrawal from the European Union. The ruling now gives lawmakers a chance to soften May's Brexit plan.
In Turkey today, the central bank raised its overnight lending rates, interest rates, by 75 basis points to support the lira. The move builds on recent extraordinary measures to tighten liquidity as the currency trades at record lows against the dollar. Checking the Turkish lira now, it's currently trading at 3.7918. The increase now puts Turkey's overnight lending rate at 9.25%.
We're watching shares of BT Group. They're moving lower in London today after the company more than tripled a write-down at its Italian unit. BT says there had been more faulty accounting and inappropriate behavior than originally thought. The company will write down a $663 million loss. That's up from $181 million.
DuPont this morning posted fourth-quarter results that beat analyst estimates. Adjusted earnings climbed to 51 cents a share compared to the 42 cents predicted by analysts. The gain is due in part to an increase in DuPont's sales of plastic parts to automakers.
Verizon set to release quarterly earnings this morning. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
A majority of the analysts covering Verizon have hold ratings in effect. The communications company gets 21 of them. There are 13 buy ratings and no sell ratings. Verizon has maintained that 2016 was a transformational year in its efforts to expand contributions from new revenue streams to offset pressures from its wireless and wireline segments. It has worked to build its advertising, content rights, and telematics operations. But Bloomberg Intelligence notes it still relies on cost cuts to improve profitability. The consensus among forecasters is that Verizon will post an adjusted profit of 89 cents a share on revenue of $32 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. And again, Alibaba boosted its revenue outlook for the year after its third-quarter earnings beat analyst estimates. S&P E-mini futures, they're little change this morning. Dow E-mini futures up 14. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 3. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, that brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update brought to you by CGMA, the Chartered Global Management Accountant designation, bringing strategic insight to your finance team by providing the skills you need for financial transformation. Learn more at cgma.org/radio. The Senate continues to advise and consent today. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Three more of President Trump's cabinet appointees have Senate confirmation hearings this morning. Nathan Hager has a preview from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
It's a second round of hearings for Health Secretary pick Tom Price. Bloomberg's Steve Dennis says the Finance Committee could grill him on
his stock purchases in health companies at the same time he was pursuing health care legislation.
Budget Chief in Waiting Mick Mulvaney goes before the Budget Committee after admitting he didn't pay the so-called nanny tax.
This is embarrassing, particularly for the guy who's supposed to be the penny pincher at the White House.
And pro wrestling executive Linda McMahon appears before the Small Business Committee. Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio, Washington.
The UK's highest court ruled that Prime Minister Theresa May must get a vote from Parliament to trigger Brexit. New York State lawmakers are taking a closer look at Governor Andrew Cuomo's plan to give middle-class students free tuition at state universities and colleges. Today, a joint Senate and Assembly budget hearing will be held. Cuomo's proposal would make tuition to state higher education institutions free for students from families making less than $125,000 a year. Hundreds of millions of Chinese are heading abroad this Lunar New Year. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie has more from one of Beijing's busiest airports.
They'll be flying to around 170 different countries and regions around the world. Top of the list, the sunshine and beaches of Thailand. Also, Japan and South Korea, big shopping destinations for Chinese tourists. Chinese tourists now outspend their American counterparts. In fact, they're expected to fork out about $255 billion a year on their travels by 2025. Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg, Beijing.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Appreciate it. And Michael brings us to 6:35 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Steshower.
Morning, Bob. Swing of emotions for the Knicks last night at Indiana. They were down by 14 points and then up by 17. Sure enough, Pacers rallied to tie in the final minute. It was looking like yet another heartbreaking Knicks loss, but Carmelo Anthony put them back ahead, and they beat the Pacers 109-103 with Melo scoring 26 points. Just their fourth win since Christmas. They had lost 9 in a row at Indiana. The Nets have now lost 13 of 14, beaten by San Antonio 112-86. Both Golden State and Cleveland lost. Warriors in Miami. The slumping Cavs fell at New Orleans. The Rangers, meanwhile, hosted the L.A. Kings.
Zatkoff about to get it. Blocked by Miller. Nice play. Open man. Zuccarello scores! Yesterday, it was Zuccarello to Miller. Tonight, Miller to Zuccarello.
MSG the call. That goal Sunday won the game 1-0 in overtime. This one put them ahead 3-1 third period. They beat the Kings 3-2. 36 saves for Henrik Lundqvist, who was in a slump during a recent three-game skid, playing much better of late. The Rangers have lost Kevin Hayes, their third leading scorer, for the next 2 to 3 weeks. Roger Federer and Venus Williams, not supposed to be doing this at their ages. The 35-year-old Federer, who hadn't played since last summer due to a knee injury, is into the Australian Open semifinals. And Venus, at 36, has become the oldest to reach the Australian Open semis in the 49-year-old Open era. She'll now play Coco Vandeweghe in an All-American semi. Vandeweghe off the upset of top seed Angie Kerber, won her match 6-4, 6-love. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thanks very much. And it's now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. Chinese President Xi Jinping delighted the Davos set last week with a full-throated defense of economic globalization. If President Trump wants to boost American prosperity, he should welcome Xi's position and apply the same ideas to U.S. trade policy. Sure, one can wonder whether Xi's idea of globalization puts quite the same emphasis on free markets as, say, Milton Friedman's, but that isn't the point. Defenders of international trade are few and far between at the moment, and none should be dismissed. Trump says he's for trade as long as everybody plays by the same rules. The best thing for the world economy would be for Trump and Xi to hold each other to the position that trade is good. If Xi was sincere in Davos about wanting to, quote, say no to protectionism, he'd weigh the legitimate criticisms Trump and others have levied against China. Trump, for his part, should understand that new tariffs on Chinese goods would make most Americans worse off. A liberal trading order serves both countries' interests. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or ViewGo on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. And Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis from Hong Kong now on how President Donald Trump's withdrawal from the Trans-Pacific Partnership creates a unique opening for China.
It's a trade and economic vacuum that China appears eager to fill. Will it damage American prestige here in Asia? Well, that's a question being raised in the halls of many U.S. allies in the region. The failure of TPP will see China step up its push for an alternative pact first conceived by ASEAN countries. It's the 16-nation regional comprehensive economic partnership. It doesn't include the United States, and it contains fewer measures to tackle non-tariff barriers to trade. Ian Bremmer, president of the Eurasia Group, said killing TPP undermines the United States in the eyes of Asian allies. He says their position is, well, they put a lot of effort into it, and now they feel they can't rely on the United States. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Brian, thank you. Now your Bloomberg Green Business Report. It only took a few cold weeks to break Europe free from its three-year-long energy glut. From Houston to Oslo to Moscow, companies that sell natural gas have seen sales and exports surge at the start of the year as Europe scrambles to secure enough supplies to manage the harsh winter. After forecasts for a mild winter, January temperatures plunged enough to freeze rivers and cut off supplies for tens of thousands of homes. German utilities have run their available plants at full throttle as temperatures plunge to a countrywide average of minus 4 Celsius or 25 Fahrenheit some days last week. The revenue boost offered a reprieve from a price collapse that's lingered since 2014 with supply overwhelming demand during three warmest years on record. While consumers and industry will be hit by higher bills with power prices in Germany surging to a record and UK gas trading near a four-year high, energy companies are enjoying a winter windfall. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. Let's check the markets now. A forward look at the markets. S&P E-mini futures unchanged. Dow E-mini futures up 8 points. And NASDAQ E-mini futures are higher by a single point. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. The Bloomberg View was brought to you by Benzel Busch. The Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned event is on now with exceptional finance rates. Hurry, offers end soon. Benzel Busch is America's premier automotive dealership in Englewood, New Jersey.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and it's a busy morning for earnings reports. We're hearing from Johnson & Johnson, DuPont, Alibaba, just to name a few. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are quiet today as companies continue to report. Dow futures are currently unchanged. S&P futures down a point, and NASDAQ futures are higher by a point. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.43%. Japan fell 0.6% overnight, while Europe is trading higher this morning. Materials and financials lead. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, market U.S. manufacturing PMI, and at 10 o'clock, existing home sales and Richmond Fed. After the bell last night, Yahoo EPS beat. The Verizon deal is delayed to Q2. And regarding those earnings this morning, J&J 2017 EPS view was below estimates. Shares are down 2.5% pre-market. DuPont was mixed. And look for Alibaba boosted year revenue views. And look for Travelers, Verizon, Lockheed Martin, Kimberly-Clark, and 3M to all report before the open. In deal news, WestRock to buy multi-packaging solutions for $18 a share. And DuPont now sees the Dow merger closing in the first half. In other news, Trump to meet auto executives around 9 a.m. And finally, some of the key Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. Apple cuts equally to Barclays. Over at Citigroup, MicroStrategy cut to neutral, and Tableau Software was raised to buy. Over at Cowen, Agrium raised to outperform. CF Industries, Mosaic, and Potash all raised to market perform. And Humana cut to hold over at Stifel. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K Go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Mike Pompeo has been sworn in as director of the CIA. At last night's swearing-in ceremony, Vice President Mike Pence said, "The men and women serving under your command give true meaning to the word courage." A ruling by Britain's Supreme Court could slow the Brexit process down. The court ruled today that the government must get parliamentary approval before starting the process of leaving the European Union. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks beat the Pacers. The Nets lost. The Wizards were also winners. The Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Rangers were winners along with the Capitals and Sharks. Finally, on this day in 1848, James W. Marshall was building a sawmill in Coloma, California, when he spotted several flakes of metal in the water. Marshall realized the flakes were gold. Marshall tried to keep it quiet. That didn't work. And Bob, that's when the California gold rush was born. Thousands from around the world came in to try and make their fortunes.
Just for the record, the average price per troy ounce of gold in 1848, not much more than 1848, actually, $18.93 an ounce. Gold today, $1,212.70 an ounce.
And it's still the same metal. My goodness. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg View. In his inaugural address last week, President Donald Trump made a reference to American carnage. What was he talking about? Well, there's the homicide rate, which rose by 11% in 2015, and looks like it may have gone up another 8% in 2016. It's still way below the levels of the 1970s and 1980s, but the recent increase is disturbing. Even more disturbing is the rise in drug overdose deaths, which has been going on for at least 15 years now. The death rate from overdoses is 2.5 times what it was in 1999. There were 3 times as many overdose deaths in 2015 as there were homicides. Then there's the suicide rate, up 25% since the year 2000. The sharpest increases have been among tween girls and middle-aged men. I'm going through this morbid accounting because I wasn't aware of how bad things were until I looked up the numbers. More and more people have been dying in the U.S. of really horrible causes. I'm not sure President Trump has any idea how to stop this, but I don't fault him for calling it American carnage. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg View. For more Bloomberg opinion and commentary, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time.
Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
Alibaba head Jack Ma promises to create 1 million jobs in the U.S. by linking small businesses with Chinese online buyers. Alibaba's recruiters will start to fan out across America to lure more businesses. They'll pitch China's appetite for cross-border retail e-commerce. Michael Evans, the president of Alibaba Group, is charged with the job of carrying out Jack Ma's vision. Evans says Alibaba understands the power of connecting small businesses to consumers, in this case, new consumers for their products, and the leverage that gives the small businesses to hire more people. For the next 5 years, Evans says, it's going to be a business priority and focus in the U.S. Alibaba hopes its dealings with 10 million small businesses in China can be the template for the U.S. efforts. The company's been talking up a U.S. expansion since Jack Ma said he wanted more than half of sales to come from outside China by 2025. And that's today's Bloomberg Small Business Report.
Thank you, John Tucker. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Kevin Brady detailing his panel's 2017 agenda this morning before the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. The House considers H.R. 7, which would amend the Affordable Care Act to bar expenditure of federal money to purchase insurance that covers abortion services. Senators will be voting on more of President Trump's cabinet nominees. And Mr. Trump meets with the CEOs of Fiat Chrysler, General Motors, and Ford. Bloomberg's Tolu Olorunipa joins us now from the White House. Good morning, Tolu. So the tweet of the morning within the past hour from Donald Trump is, I want new plants to be built here for cars sold here. And I assume that's going to be his message to these auto executives.
Yeah, it's definitely a message that he has been pushing this week, that he wants the U.S. manufacturing business and industry to come back to America, all the jobs that have left over the last several decades. He wants there to be a resurgence in the U.S. manufacturing sector, and yesterday we saw him meeting with a number of executives in the manufacturing sector saying, come back to me in 30 days and tell me what I should do in terms of regulation, in terms of taxes, in order to help you to create jobs in the U.S. But at the same time, he's also wielding a stick saying, if you ship jobs out of the country and try to ship products back into the country, you're going to face a large border tax. And that's something that I expect him to tell these automakers today as well.
Wielding a stick, as in shaming.
Definitely, he's tweeted very sharp language tweets against a number of these automakers about their plans to create plants and jobs in Mexico. Ford and GM have been the targets of some of his barbs, and a number of them have actually abandoned some of those plans and said that they're going to refocus on creating jobs in the U.S. Obviously, you don't want the most powerful man in the world attacking you in the public and on Twitter in a way that we don't normally see presidents do for specific companies, but it seems to be the strategy that President Trump is taking with these automakers.
So Mark Fields from Ford, Mary Barra from GM, and Sergio Marchionne from Chrysler, we understand, are going to be attending this meeting. What message are they going to be bringing, if we know, to the White House?
Well, one of those members, Mark Fields, actually was at the White House yesterday as part of the first manufacturing meeting, and he said that his message to President Trump was that if you can help the business community by reducing regulation, making a better regulatory environment, and reducing taxes, then it will be easier for manufacturing companies to invest in the United States. I believe that this is going to be the first of several meetings with these automakers, and one of the messages they're going to have is work with us. You know, we also want to create jobs in the U.S., but, you know, we need a better regulatory environment and we need lower taxes. So they're going to make their requests known to President Trump. And I think President Trump has called himself a great deal maker. So this will be the beginning of a negotiation. And I believe a number of them may, you know, behind the scenes tell the president that they're not too happy with being called out on Twitter for making business decisions.
And Tolu and the rest of our team will, of course, have full details as this story develops throughout the day on Bloomberg Radio and Television and on the Bloomberg Terminal and at Bloomberg.com. Bloomberg's Tolu Olorunipa, thank you very much. And
Thanks. Again,
you can read more about this story on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Coming up, Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and David Gura. And David is here to tell us what's ahead. Good morning.
Hey, Bob. We're continuing to follow the latest developments on Brexit. We'll get an update on the UK Supreme Court's decision at the top of the hour. We'll talk to Megan Green. She's the chief economist at Manulife. And I'm excited to talk to Sally Krawcheck. She's the former CEO of Smith Barney, now the CEO of Elevest. And she has a new book out called Own It, The Power of Women at Work. We'll get market insight from Steve Auth of Federated Investors, Jason Bloom of Invesco, and Perspective on the U.S. economy from Michael Gapin of Barclays and Kevin Logan from HSBC.
Thank you very much, David Gura. And, of course, Tolu Olorunipa joined us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Karen Moscow, over to you for a look at the markets.
All right, Bob, thank you. And we are watching futures as we've been getting earnings this morning from companies including Johnson & Johnson and DuPont. Futures, though, little change. S&P E-mini futures down less than half a point. Dow E-mini futures up 6 and NASDAQ E-mini futures are up 2. We are seeing Travelers earnings crossing the Bloomberg fourth quarter operating profit, beating analyst estimates, coming in at $3.20 a share. Analysts looking for $2.81. We will continue to watch earnings throughout the day, and Bloomberg Daybreak, Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow. Thank you.